the director of the hit show The Chosen, Dallas Jenkins, says that he will die on the hill that says Mormons worship the same Jesus as you and I. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are not only going to be looking at the show The Chosen, really more or less some comments that were recently made by Dallas Jenkins, but we'll also be looking at how to share the gospel with Mormons, with those who, I guess, they want to be called, according to this interview that we'll talk about, they want to be called LDS or Latter-day Saints and get away from the Mormons. Even though they used to say some pretty bad things about Christians, but love to be called that nowadays. But nonetheless, we will talk about that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about where we are at right now. Right now, we are recording, not live, because you guys will hear this just a few more hours after I record it. But nonetheless, we are out in New York. And so we are ministering the gospel here, being able to share. I'm going to be sharing on tomorrow, actually. I'll be sharing tomorrow in the morning here. It'll be 6 a.m., I guess, on the West Coast, 9 a.m. out here on the East Coast. And I'll be sharing on the topic of the canon of Scripture. And for you guys that are 5:11 News diehard fans, those who listen to every show, you guys know it is a topic of discussion. It is a topic I love to discuss. So when Joe asked me, and he didn't ask me, what topic do you want to teach on? He just said, Chad, I'd love for you to teach on canon. And so he knows my heart and my passion for knowing the Word of God and having good evidence to the reasons why we trust the Word of God for what it is, which is our standard for everything concerning to life and doctrine. So I'm going to be talking about that. So that's on the heart and mind. And it's really interesting. We're going to be talking about Mormonism because when it comes to the canon of Scripture and knowing what canon is, it is really, really important when you're witnessing to Mormons because that is a question that will come up. But according to Dallas Jenkins, you don't really need to witness to Mormons, I guess. Why would you need to witness to somebody who's a brother or sister in Christ? That would be like having fellowship and correcting bad doctrine, which plenty of us have done that. I'm sure you have, talking with brothers and sisters, legitimate brothers and sisters in Christ who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside them, not by the laying of the hands of some elder, as according to the Mormon church, or a burning in the bosom that takes place that convinces you that the Book of Mormon is true and so forth. But you have the Holy Spirit residing in you at the point of salvation when you gave your life to Christ and God came in to reside in you. And so this is really important to have this distinction, because when we don't understand this distinction, where we have brothers and sisters in Christ who disagree with us theologically but are our brothers and sisters in Christ, that is distinct from somebody being so wrong on salvation, on the gospel, on the fact that they are in a cult, sadly enough, that you consider them brethren. That's doing a disservice. And we'll get into that. But I guess it's better to give you the evidences. I know you guys are used to me being with the laptop, but like I said, we're on location. We are inside what is called the Barn Fellowship here in, it's so funny being in New York, because when I think New York, I'm thinking concrete jungle, right? When I get to New York, I'm thinking, hey, we're going to be in the city, all these big buildings. No, that's not been the case. We have been driving through Long Island, which I had no idea had so much beauty. I was just astounded, and seeing God's creation and meeting the people here and getting along with and just having just wonderful, extending the arm of fellowship one to another has been just such a beautiful thing. And having true koinonia with those who love truth. And this is one of the great things, because we've done on location in Texas. I'm sure I'll be doing On Location in Idaho soon enough. Hopefully Florida, hopefully Kentucky. We have another one in Washington where we have these small groups that are kind of just, God is really doing a work right now to build them up. And I'm excited for what God is doing. And it all has to do with going back to the Word of God. And this has to do with our, if you guys didn't know, our Blessed Hope Livestream family. We have a number of the listeners here that are dedicated listeners are part of the Blessed Hope Livestream family one way or the other. And we have this new process we're going through. And Joe and Pastor Steve and everyone at our home fellowship at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, they've commissioned me to help out in growing these groups and teaching these groups and doing discipleship with these groups. So if you're someone that you're looking for a group, you can contact us. Or if you're someone that, hey, you know what, I'd love to start a group. Maybe you have some leadership qualities, you know, we'd love to look at that and so forth. But we'd love to talk with you if we could. But nonetheless, I don't want to get too far down that rabbit trail. But this is a really fun time because being able to do these conferences as we've done in Texas before, we're doing again in Texas in November, and now being here. And guys, there's nothing like fellowship one with another where the second you meet someone, you know they're a brother or sister in Christ. There's really nothing like it. And if you haven't experienced that, I want to encourage you guys. It is such an amazing thing. And, you know, from doing a lot of traveling, whether it's through Mexico with our Pastor Jonathan down there in Ensenada, whether it's in Costa Rica, where we're starting a fellowship there with our brother David, whether, you know, it's in, you know, Timbuktu, it doesn't matter where we've gone, we've met wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. And it all has to do with us caring about what the Word of God says. And you're going to get me talking about canon. And I don't want to do that. That's for Saturday. And I'm sure, I think we might even show that to you guys if you want to enjoy that sort of teaching. And it actually be released at the same time that 511 News usually is. So that's pretty good. And by the way, if you're wondering why my eyes might keep moving, it's because Tony's right behind me. And he's usually inside the studio. So I'm getting a little bit of a different kind of feel here. But nonetheless, let's talk about the issue. Because I want to talk about Dallas Jenkins. And obviously, when it comes to this show, The Chosen, a lot of people have come to us. I can't tell you how many emails we received. I can't tell you how many messages I've received in terms of, hey, what do you guys think? Some people love this show. Some people hate the show. Some people are like, it brought about a lot of emotion. But look, I've seen some stuff on the actor. He's meeting with the Pope, you know, the man who plays Jesus. He's doing some New Age stuff. He's bowing down almost before dead bodies and so forth. And so, yeah, I see that too, guys. Don't think that I'm turning a blind eye to that. I see that too. And then, you know, seeing Dallas Jenkins kind of, you know, maneuver about, seeing that there might be some Mormon money in the background and so forth, you know, really looking at it, you're going, okay, what is really going on? And I think this is important because things can seem really good on the surface. In fact, arguments can seem really good on the surface. We talk about it all the time in Proverbs 18, I believe it's 17. In Proverbs 18, 17, it says that he who pleads his case first seems right until someone comes over and examines him. And when it comes to these things, especially if you've been reading the Gospels and you've read these stories in the Scriptures, and I'm gonna be candid with you here. I have not seen one second of The Chosen. I have no idea what the show looks like. I just wasn't really interested in it. I've watched some Jesus movies and so forth and been encouraged, you know, here and there. But ultimately, I do love reading the Scriptures. And, you know, even, you know, before I was saved, if I read a book, which I didn't do much before I was saved, but there was a few books that were made into movies. Sadly, I'll tell you, The Outsiders was one of them. And I remember that was the first time I understood what somebody meant when they said the book was better. Well, we have the Word of God, so that's no comparison. But nonetheless, I do believe there's visual aids that when you watch things, it can really bring about some emotions. So I didn't want to downplay that, but I also wanted to recognize there seems to be something nefarious when there is so much ecumenism. And it's one thing to be like, hey, dude, but you don't understand. Like, Dallas Jenkins is an evangelical Christian, and he wants to get the gospel to these Mormons who do not know the true Jesus, right? They believe that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Come on, that's not the same Jesus, right? So of course we want people to reach out to those in the LDS, if that's what they want to call themselves, right? They used to call Christians the greatest whoremongers that walk the earth. But nonetheless, now it used to be the campaign that you'd see on YouTube. I don't know if you guys remember this. This was going on YouTube. We'd have somebody, you know, playing an instrument, and then they'd be surfing or something. And then at the end, it was almost like they whispered, you know, they'd be like, I'm a guitarist, I'm a surfer, I'm a Californian or whatever. And then it's, and I'm a Mormon. And you're like, what is going on? And because they were trying to say, we're just like everybody else. You know, we just add this little bit. We just sprinkle on this weird stuff. And the fact is that if the goal is to reach the gospel, I will tell you this, right? I think it was William Booth, and he had his issues, especially baptism, but I won't get into that. But he talked about that if he wanted to be anywhere right? He wanted to be right next to the gates of hell to be able to prevent people from going there and preaching against it so that people would not fall into that. And I know that that's the case for myself. There's a reason why we'll be going to NYC right now. You guys are watching this at 6 a.m. on Friday. We're going to be in NYC at 9 a.m. to share the gospel on the streets of New York City. And so, yeah, we like going into the devil's den to go share the gospel. We do that in Santa Monica. We do that everywhere, right? I went to Long Beach with my wife and some friends to go share the gospel at the Jehovah's Witness Convention. So these are things that we love to do, Electric Daisy Carnival and so forth. So I understand with everything in me being able to reach out to those people. That is entirely different than what's going on, and I'm going to explain. Because Dalex Jenkins recently did a podcast show. And like I said, I'm sorry I'm not with my laptop with the nice 511 News logo. You get my phone, all right? So here we are, all right? He appeared on LDS Living, okay? And here is the end of the question. The end of the question that was asked, the first question I have listed here. The end of the question says, quote, "I have been told," and this is him talking to Dalex Jenkins, "I have been told that you are a fierce defender of the Latter-day Saint belief in Jesus Christ." Let me stop you there, okay? I can tell you this. If someone said, "Chad Davidson is a fierce defender of the Latter-day Saint belief in Jesus Christ," call me a heretic and throw me out the door. Don't listen to me again, all right? Because I am not going to be a fierce defender of that. And I will explain why. Does that mean I don't love those who are caught up in the Mormon deception? Absolutely, positively not. I could show you Mormon after Mormon that I love and pray for, that I've written down their names on my phone to remember to pray for. I've shared the gospel with Mormons. I absolutely love them. I really, really, really do. And they may be zealous, but they're not zealous for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want them to know the truth. I am not a fierce defender of their belief in Jesus Christ. If somebody asked me that question, I would answer it very differently. But I'll let the question finish. And that is something, quote, "and that is something that honestly, on behalf of all of us Mormons, I just want to say thank you for that. But why is it that you are a defender of our belief in Jesus Christ?" Now, Dalex Jenkins in it, I'm not going to read every quote or I won't get any time to share some scripture with you guys. And that's the most important thing that I could do, right? But Dalex Jenkins goes on to say, you know, he's received a lot of criticism regarding his defense of LDS and so forth. And then he says, quote, "apparently, it's a controversial statement, which I guess I would have known that a few years ago. But now that I've been working with LDS brothers and sisters over the last couple of years and gotten to know them so well, I've learned quite a bit." He goes on to say he has theological differences, but remember what he said, "my LDS brothers and sisters." This is really, really, really important, guys, because when it comes to having LDS brothers and sisters, the fact is they are not our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we talk about brethren in the Bible, this is talking about our brethren, unless it's a caveat, my brethren in the flesh, because I'm also a Jew. Guys, we are talking about brethren. We are talking about brothers and sisters of Christ. That means we are children of God, not children of the devil, that we have a proper gospel. And I want to point this out, and this may sound really bad, but the problem is that they're not my words. They're actually the words of the scripture. And it says in 2 John, and there's only one chapter, so starting at verse 8, "Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." Verse 9, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." Now, I want to point this out. All right, John is the same one who told us in 1 John chapter 1 that the message that they receive from Jesus, that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Guess what? That also means you can't be the spirit brother of Lucifer. It also means that, guess what? That the God that we have in the Bible is the only one we can trust in. Any God that is a god of amongst many gods in the pantheon of gods, according to Mr. Brigham Young, that he has no idea how many gods there are. There's just so many gods. And really, it wasn't that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's in the beginning God constructed out of the matter that already existed. So even matter pre-exists our eternal God. From everlasting to everlasting, you know that God? The God that is before time, space, and matter. The eternal God that we have. They don't believe in that same God. That's what's so important for us to understand. They are believing in a different God, a different Yahweh, not the one in the scriptures. They believe that there are so many gods and that our God was so ignorant that when he says he is the only God, he's ignorant of these other gods. When he says, and I believe it's the Septuagint's rendering in Psalm, I want to say 95, where it says specifically that the gods of the nations are demons. That's what they are. All right, these false gods, they're really demons. They're not gods at all. There's only one true God, and his name is Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-eternal beings. And the view that Mormons have, even if I just get into that and the nature of God, is far different than the one that we have in Scripture. It is also far different, and this is something that I always bring out, okay? When it comes to making arguments, we have what is called the law of non-contradiction. And so basically what happens is we take them through the scriptures. We ask them, do you believe that this is the word of God? They'll tell you something along the lines, of course I do. Take them to 2 Timothy 3:16. For every scripture is theanoustos. It's God breathed. All right. So by its nature, it's been breathed out by God. He is the one who has written it. So in its nature, we recognize that our God who is perfect has given us a word that is inerrant and perfect. Okay, just by the nature of it being from God himself. So we recognize that and we can ask them that. And they would say yes, as best as it's been translated. As if God just couldn't figure out the whole translation thing. You know, he wasn't able, you know, to be the God, you know, pre-everlasting, you know, from everlasting to everlasting. He wasn't that God who was so powerful enough that when he communicates, he actually communicates to us in a way that we can understand. It's not some hidden thing. It's not, I don't need to look into a hat and read special messages. I don't need to have special goggles to read hieroglyphics from Egypt and so forth. But we have the word of God that he gave us apostles here on earth, specifically when it comes to the new covenant. I digress because I don't want to get into that. When it comes to the law of non-contradiction, we have, you believe that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe the Bible actually contradicts the Book of Mormon. Because in the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi 25:23, it says you are saved by grace through faith after all you can do. You're like, well, that sounds similar to a verse, but it says something contrary. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says we are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. You're saved by grace through faith. It is a gift from God, not after all you can do. Remember, if the blood of the Lamb is applied to the doorpost of your heart, outside of the act of obedience that God has called you to, as we read in Romans 10, specifically 9 through 13, but when we talk specifically just about the gospel, the fact that you believe in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, Jesus says, Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, you are saved because the blood is applied to you just as it was on the doorpost. Does that mean you don't do good works? Absolutely not. James says, can that faith save you? That faith that isn't applied with works cannot save you. That's exactly what James clearly says. But guess what? We have to apply that blood. And when it comes to the law of non-contradiction, one of those books, I want to point this out, both could be wrong, right? Theoretically, right? Both could be wrong. Both could not be right because they contradict one another. One can be wrong, one can be right. Both could be wrong, but both cannot be right. I believe the Bible is the Word of God for a myriad of reasons. And I mean, whether we talk about prophecy and so forth, whether we show that it's the genuine article, which is the reason why cults have to go off of it. That's just why, because they have to go back to a genuine article and then that make something that is corrupt. But I don't want to get into that. But this is exactly what we call plus religion. It's where we add something to the gospel. And this is exactly what happened in the region of Galatia. I mean, there's a lot of churches there, Derbe and a number of churches, Iconium and so forth, that were in that region. So when we talk about the church of Galatia, we're really talking about a region. And in that region, Paul had seemingly gone to a number of those churches and preached the gospel to them. I want to give this background because I think it brings out the text way more beautifully when we really understand what's happening in the region of Galatia. Because you have Paul presenting to them the gospel, quite clearly, a grace through faith gospel, right? Then what happens? Deceivers, who we call Judaizers, come in with a different gospel. There's even a council in Acts chapter 15 regarding this, okay? And one of the things that takes place in this region of Galatia is they were coming and saying, yes, have Jesus, follow Jesus, that's right, but let me just add this circumcision thing to you. And Paul's saying, if you do that, just you're cut off. You're severed from Christ if you add anything else to the gospel. And so in this region, I find it really cool because you remember that Paul and Peter, he even mentions the run-in that they had, right? Paul and Peter, they had a run-in here because Peter would hang out with Gentiles when the Jews come, he'd act aloof from them. And so what did Paul do? He rebuked him to his face. Mind you, he says that, and I think this is powerful, guys. Just think about this. He says that right after using Peter to affirm that the gospel that he had been sharing over and over and over again, specifically in the region of Galatia, he used him as the backdrop that I went to the disciples. I went to Peter to see if I had taken anything and been wrong about the gospel that I preached, this gospel that is by grace through faith and not by works. He said, I took it to them, and guess what they added? Guess what they added to Paul's gospel that he preached in that area? He says they added nothing. They added nothing. So adding something to the gospel is really, really, really dangerous. In fact, let's read from Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Just circle that in your Bible. Underline it. Highlight it. I don't care. Just take it and look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Because literally, do you know what a synonym for different is? It's another. And when you pick up the Book of Mormon, what does it say on the front cover? Another testament. Another gospel. That's what that is. It's heretical. It's another gospel. This thing does not need it to be added to. The canon scripture is closed. And it does. We do not have apostles writing for us today, especially when you think about this. You think about Brigham Young. And I got to bring this out because I think this is one of the saddest things. And, you know, when a cult like the Mormons and so forth, when they have to adapt to the culture, right? When they have to adapt to the culture, you can recognize they're false. For example, did you know it wasn't until the civil rights movement that Mormons started accepting blacks into the priesthood? Did you know that Brigham Young, yes, BYU University, the biggest Mormon university in the country, BYU University, Brigham Young, that man was a disgusting racist. Did you know that in page 110, volume 10 of Journal of Discourses, which is the writings, which sadly enough, most Mormons that come to your door have no idea what it is anymore, but these writings, it was very similar to Ex Cathedra. What they preached was as if the prophet of God was speaking directly from God. And in page 110 of volume 10 of Journal of Discourses, he said, what should I say of the African race? What should I say of the African race? He says that a person of the chosen seed, white people, slept with a person of the unchosen seed, they shall be put to death. Oh, well, that was back then. No. I say, it shall always be. It says it shall always be. That means that when he said that, when he prophesied, he proves he's a false prophet. First of all, as soon as that is negated and thrown out, all right, he is a false prophet. And by the way, it's against God's word. Absolutely, positively. There's neither Greek nor Scythian, right? There's neither Jew, no Gentile, so forth. All right, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's disgusting, and God doesn't have it. It's nonsense. And so I have to point that out. He's a wicked racist. So when I talk about these things, it's not an accident. You have to take these things to people and share with them in truth and in love. There's a reason why blacks weren't allowed in the priesthood. It's because of the racist beginnings, which they've actually admitted over the last few years, which is really, really interesting. But I want to get to this quote, and I don't have a lot of time left. Man, I had a lot of scripture. I had these ribbons all set up on a bunch of scripture, but nonetheless, it's really, really important that we get to this. He said they have a lot of difficulties. He calls them brethren. He said, quote, however, one thing that is unabashedly true and unarguably true is that in getting to know some of my LDS friends here on this, especially through the chosen, you're passionate about Jesus Christ, and it's Jesus of Nazareth. When I hear people say it's a different Jesus. So even if you're listening to this right now as an evangelical and are horrified, I hope you are, to hear me say some of these things, consider that even if you disagree, even if you think that, no, it's two different Jesuses and they worship two different saviors and what you're saying is wrong, fine, believe what you will. I'm not going to have these arguments with you. I don't like it when my friends get attacked. So that's why I tend to be pretty defensive of my friends, even if not always defensive of the theology on which we sometimes disagree. I don't really care because I can't be canceled unless I cancel myself. So I'm totally fine with it. But I'm happy to say, yeah, we disagree on some things, but I'm going to die on the hill of we love the same Jesus and we want the same Jesus to be known to the world. Guys, I got to be honest with you. The Jesus of the LDS Church, I don't want to be known to the world outside of not being the true Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible never went to America, right? We know he was born where? In Bethlehem. We know he died where? In Israel, in Jerusalem, right? We know he rose again. He didn't write some extra book. This is finished. This book is finished here. And the fact is that the Bible actually talks about this. We talk about not extending this greeting and opening them up as if they're part of the brethren. And this has to do also whether it's with somebody's in sin. And by the way, I do believe being in a cult like the LDS movement, that is idolatry because it's a different God. It's not the God of the Bible. And so when we look at something like 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and you welcome them in and you act as though they're saved, what you're really doing them is absolutely detrimental. That you're totally fine believing in a Jesus foreign to the scripture, that you're totally fine trusting in the words of Joseph Smith, because you have to put all your faith in Joseph Smith, not the God of the Bible. You have to put all your faith in Joseph Smith. And what he is doing here is exactly what the Bible warns about in terms of welcoming a sinner and eating and dining and sitting with them, making them think they're perfectly fine when they are on their way to hell. And I don't want that for them. Do you want that for them? And I would encourage Mr. Jenkins to actually look at the theological differences, because theological differences can be very serious when it's Jesus himself that makes those things the differential between salvation and non-salvation. In fact, his own brother James says, you believe in one God, even though they don't, but you believe in one God. Well, that's good. The demons believe and they also shudder. So let's make sure that we're believing the right God and make sure that we have the Holy Spirit inside us that leads us into all truth. Don't follow fables and don't pat someone on the back and tell them, you're totally fine. Go be merry, be happy in your sin when these people are following a different Jesus. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 511 News in New York.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.